John chapter 16, reading one verse of Scripture. We'll be looking at others as well. Had to change pockets. All my change, I found out I had a hole in my pocket. You ever done that? All of a sudden, I started seeing the quarters at my feet. I know that wasn't nothing magic. And I realized I had a hole there. Amen. John chapter 16, beginning of verse 7, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper," say the Helper, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Let's read it again. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your holy and precious name. Lord, we thank you for the person and power of the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. God, we ask, Lord, tonight that you just speak to our hearts. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Lord, we set aside all the distractions in our hearts and our minds and our lives tonight, God. God, and we just ask that you just have your will and your way. Your word says it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. And we give you the praise and thank you. Lord, have your way. Let your Holy Spirit move in a tremendous way in our hearts and our lives in this house tonight, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus said, told his disciples, he is speaking to them, he is preparing them for his departure. And he tells them, it's to your advantage. What is that word advantage? What's the definition in the Greek there? It means to be better for, to be good for, to be more profitable for. He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Well, they have been with Jesus for 3 years, approximately 3 years now. What could be any better than Jesus? They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him feed the 4,000 and the 5,000. They had seen him do all these things. What could be any better than Jesus? But yet Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Can you say amen? So what was the advantage? The advantage was, while Jesus was fully God and fully man, while he walked on the face of this earth in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he could only be where? One place at one time. But he says, when I send the Holy Ghost, guess what? The Holy Ghost can be everywhere. And he can do the same thing that Jesus did, especially not just in one place, but he can work over here, he can work over here, he can move about freely. Can you say amen? And we know, being a Pentecostal church, that ever since the day of Pentecost, there's been the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? But the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper, our guide. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit has come. And tonight as we begin to look at this, have you ever been going through, we may be looking at this in a little bit different way. Have you ever been going through something or just going through your daily routine of life and for whatever reason, you had an overwhelming sense that you were all alone? You may have been surrounded by a host of family and friends or coworkers. Or other people may have been around, but still, for whatever reason, you felt or you feel all alone. There's a feeling of isolation. And if that feeling of isolation is not kept in check, it can lead to other things. Discouragement, depression, self-pity, feeling a sense of lack of self-worth, paranoia, thinking that others don't care or that they're against you. It can be very draining emotionally, mentally, physically. But most importantly, it can be very draining spiritually. Well, how do we deal with that? How do we overcome this? What we must realize and allow to become a living truth in our lives is for a Christian, how many Christians do we have here tonight? Amen. For a Christian in right relationship with Jesus, you are and I are never alone. You and I are never, ever alone. So many times, though, when this feeling comes that we talked about a little earlier, then the devil comes along, and even our fleshly nature will try to monopolize on our emotions and on our mental state. He's trying to drive a wedge between us and our relationship with Christ, as well as try to do damage to us in all the other areas we mentioned. But you and I must understand tonight, church, that we have a helper. Touch your neighbor and say, we have a helper. Not just corporately, but individually as well. And Jesus spoke to it so much, he said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the helper will not come. But if I do go away, I'm going to send the helper to you, because Jesus would never have sent us something or someone we don't need. Can you say amen? The helper is not an it. The helper is not a thing. The helper is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he can't just be at one place. He's all over the place. Can you say amen? Jesus had begun preparing his disciples a little before this. We see in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15 and 16, Jesus began to talk to them about the helper. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. He says, I'm going to give you another helper. Now keep in mind, he said verse 14, chapter 14, before he said verse 16. Chapter 16. There's two important words in verse 16 of chapter 14. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. The first word is another. Say another. In our commentary, in our biblical commentary, it says another. Allos. Strong's number 243. One besides another of the same kind. The word shows similarities but diversities of operation in ministries. Jesus' use of allos for sending another comforter equals one besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. The Spirit's coming assures continuity with what Jesus did and taught. But then again, Jesus will not just be in one area. He will be all over the place. The Holy Spirit is here. When Brother Kip goes to Mexico, the Holy Spirit goes to Mexico. When Mark is in Peru, the Holy Spirit is in Peru. When our missionaries go to their different places, Kelly Norris goes to Costa Rica, the Holy Spirit's in Costa Rica. On the other side of the globe, in the darkest places of Africa where the gospel goes, the Holy Spirit is there. Can you say amen? And he is working. He's not limited in his power. He is working in the power and the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you somewhere else he's at. He's in Ozark First Assembly of God tonight, wanting to minister to the hearts and lives of each and every person in this house. Can you say amen? Are you thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight? He says, I'll give you another. And the second word that's important is helper. The King James Version uses that word as comforter. The Greek word is called parakletos. It's the intercessor, the counselor, the advocate, the comforter, one who's called to one's aid, one who's called to one's side, called alongside to help. Let me share with you a little more commentary. Jesus spoke of the Holy Ghost as another comforter. In classical Greek, it denoted someone called or sent to help. It was sometimes used in a technical sense as a counselor or spokesperson. Not in a legal sense, but as a friend coming alongside to help. In John's gospel, it has that common everyday meaning of helper. Jesus called the Holy Spirit another, in other words, another of the same kind, another helper. Jesus was indeed the helper of the disciples. He touched the weakness of Peter's mother-in-law. He gave her strength for service. He spoke to the helpless man at the pool and gave him strength to take up his bed and walk. Whenever the disciples were discouraged and tired at odds with one another, he gave them unfailing help by example, teaching, and miracle. He was always there when they needed him. Jesus further told his disciples that it was to their advantage for him to go away, for only then would he send the Paracletus, the helper, to them. He, the Holy Spirit, would bring a closer relationship to Jesus and make his powerful power available to them wherever they were or wherever they went. Can you say amen? He says, I am going to send. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. He was always there when they needed him. Can you say amen? That's what Jesus was doing. He was teaching them and preparing them about the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, how long was the Holy Spirit going to be around them? How long was the Holy Spirit going to be close to them? Well, it tells us right there. I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. That word abide means to stay. To stay in a given place, state, a relation, or expectancy. To continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. The helper, the Holy Ghost, dwells and is present with us at all times, just as if Christ himself were there. Somebody says, you know what, I don't feel him. I don't have those doodads. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is bigger than a doodad. Come on, somebody. If we're walking in right relationship with the Lord, he's there. No matter where I go, no matter what I go through, no matter what I'm facing, the Holy Spirit, it is there. He's the one that's called alongside me to help. Can you say amen? He's there whether I feel him or whether I don't feel him. He said he will abide with you. He will stay with you. He will stick with you. How long will he be there? He tells us. He will abide with you for how long? Until you get your church membership gone. Hello. He will abide. This ain't based on our church membership. This is based on our walk with Jesus. It's based on our walk with Christ. He will abide with you forever, evermore, an unbroken age, perpetuity of time and eternity. As long as we remain in right relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit will remain with us for all eternity. Say perhaps. Let me just. I get my imaginator going. Wes likes that word. I get my imaginator going. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see Jesus. Hello, I'm looking forward to that. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see the Father. But I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see the Holy Spirit. What does he look like? I don't know. Ezekiel described me as a wheel within a wheel with a bunch of eyes. I don't know how that looks. Kind of weird. Doesn't matter what he looks like as long as he's here, can you say? Amen. I'm just thankful for him, can you say amen? He's going to be with us forever. Not only here, but especially when we get to heaven. As long as we remain in right relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit will remain for all eternity. But we must remember some things about our helper, about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. Well, you can't ask them unless you wind up in the wrong place. And the Holy Spirit can be lost. You say, what do you mean, Brother Doss? King Saul in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God was not only on him, he was in him, and he lost him. For New Testament believers, if we don't stay in that right relationship with, I'm not saying we stump our toes, say a bad word, and the Holy Spirit's going to believe. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's a lot stronger than that. God's a lot more long-suffering than that. Can you say amen? But if we continue to sin willfully, if we sin willfully and just continue on in that direction, guess what? There will come a time when the Holy Spirit says, I can't stay here. But see, that's not what he wants to do. That's not what Jesus sent him to do. It is his desire. And he desires to dwell and help and abide forever. He's the one that's come alongside to help. We have a helper, church. When? always. Notice what Jesus said in verse 17. He said, he's the Spirit of truth, and the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He dwells with every believer, every born-again child of God. Every born-again child. He dwells with every born-again child of God. We're only saved by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? When the Spirit of God does work in our heart. But there's a difference. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Are y'all with me tonight? He's teaching his disciples. He says, he dwells with you, but he shall be where? In you. He was preparing them, not only for the coming of the Holy Spirit, but he was preparing them for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just like he said in Acts, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a difference in the Holy Spirit being with us and the Holy Spirit being in us. Can you say amen? It's great to have the Holy Spirit with us, but it's awesome to have the Holy Spirit in us. Can you say amen? But either way, he's there. Can you say amen? And he's there forever as long as we maintain our walk with God. He dwells with us, but can also dwell within us as we are baptized in his Spirit. I want us to see the reality of his presence. Thinking again in the line that when we feel like we're facing something and we're all alone and we're just having to deal with things, and we may be struggling, and we don't feel like anyone's concerned or anyone's there. Let me tell you, someone is there, and he cares. Can you say amen? Let's look at the reality of his presence. John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus is speaking. Before I read the scripture, do you ever think Jesus felt alone? Do you ever think Jesus felt like no one cared? The Bible says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. But Jesus knew he was not alone. Jesus said in John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus, as he walked this earth in human form, said, the Father has not left me alone. Jesus was given the Spirit without measure. Jesus performed his miracles through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was with Christ all along the way. The Father hadn't left him alone until Calvary, until the cross. And that's when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because two things left, the presence of the Father and the presence of the Spirit. And it literally shattered Jesus' heart. Because then he had to take on our sin in human form. He who knew no sin became sin for us. You say, that was a long time ago. Yeah, but my sin and your sin was laid on him that day. Can you say amen? But guess what? The Spirit didn't stay off from him very long. Because the Bible says, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, the Holy Ghost raised him up. Can you say amen? Jesus had the person and the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through his life. In fact, when he was baptized, right after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. The Bible says the Spirit led him out to the wilderness for that time of fasting and prayer. Let's look at the reality of the presence of the Spirit in Paul's life. You think Paul ever felt alone? You think Paul ever felt forsaken? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 says, Paul was going through a tough time. He says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Everybody left me alone. Everybody left me to stand by myself, but somebody didn't leave. Verse 17 says, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Now, do we see anywhere in the scripture that the Lord actually came down in physical form and stood beside Paul? No. How did the Lord stand beside Paul when nobody else stood with him? Through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. Was Paul Spirit-filled? You better believe it. He says, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. How was Paul able to endure all the things, all the beatings, the stoning, the shipwrecks? When church folks would turn against him, when he had to go through hardship, how was he able to endure that? How was he able to stand strong through that? Because the person and the power of the Holy Spirit stood right there with Paul. Can you say amen? The same Holy Spirit that stood with Jesus stood with Paul. Can you say amen? Think about David in the Old Testament, what he cried out during his prayer of repentance. Are y'all still with me tonight? In Psalms 51, verse 11, he says, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me, but uphold me. That word uphold, that phrase uphold me is one word in the Hebrew language. It means to prop up, to lean upon, to bear up, to lay hold, to sustain me. By your Spirit, O God. David is literally saying, Lord, if you take your Holy Spirit from me, I won't be able to stand. Why? Because even in the Old Testament, in those that knew the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, he was still the paracletus, he was still the helper, he was still the one who was called alongside to help. If he was the helper in the Old Testament, if he was the helper in the New Testament, guess what? He's still the helper for you and I today. Can you say amen? Jesus, Paul, and David had a living reality of the presence of the person of the Holy Spirit in their life and the help and the strength he gives. It wasn't just a head knowledge, but rather a living reality. Church, I pray that we have that living reality, that we're never alone, that the Holy Spirit is there with us. With that in mind, I want us to look at a couple more scriptures. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. You may say, well, Brother Doss, this doesn't really fit. Oh, yeah, it does. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That word sticks, cleaves, joins, sticks, adhere. Many of you may or may not know, I have an older brother. He's got a head full of hair. It makes me so mad. He's 9 years older than I am. Ricky and I are close, but he's not always around. But the Holy Ghost, the helper, the advocate and friend, he's always there, willing and ready and always able to aid and strengthen when I call upon him. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going, he is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can you say amen? Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 says this, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How long did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would abide with us? Forever. He will abide with you forever. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men will do to me. The Lord is my helper. He said, I will never leave you and I never will forsake you. The Old Testament talks about if my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Friends, sometimes family will let us down. Sometimes friends will let us down. Sometimes co-workers or fellow students will let us down. But friends, Jesus will never let us down. The Holy Spirit will never let us down. He will never leave us or forsake us. As long as we stay in right relationship with him, can you say amen? He is our helper. When? Always. He's our secure. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear of being alone. Because he, through the Holy Spirit, is with us. We have a helper on whom we can depend and upon whom we can call. Jesus told his disciples, I'll read it again in our text. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He said in John chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Well, wait, does that kind of tie in, or something's off? Does that make sense? First, he says, I've got to go, but then he says, I'm going to come to you. How does he come to us? How does Christ come to us? Through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's right there. Can you say amen? And the Holy Spirit draws us closer to Christ. He says, I will come to you. Jesus reveals himself to the obedient believer through the Holy Spirit, who makes known the personal presence of Jesus in and with the one who loves him. The Spirit makes us aware of the nearness of Jesus and the reality of his love, his blessing and his help. This is one of the Spirit's primary tasks. The fact that Christ comes to us through the Spirit should cause us to respond in love and worship and devotion. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you fatherless. I won't leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you as a protector or guardian. Jesus comes to us through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're never alone. We can face a lot if we know that someone is with us on whom we can depend. Can you say amen? We have a helper. The psalmist said in Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That word very means a greatly and exceedingly, a mighty present help, a helper, a secure assistance in trouble, in times of affliction, anguish, distress, and trouble. We have a helper tonight who is the Holy Ghost. We have a helper. You have a helper. You have a person that's right there by your side, that's there to help, that's there to encourage, that's there to strengthen, that's there to minister, that's there to guide, that's there to direct. How many of us would say tonight, I need more of the helper in my life? With what I'm dealing with and with what I'm going through, I just need to know that he's there with me. Or I just need his leadership, guidance, and direction, and comfort. How many of us would say tonight, I need more of the Holy Ghost in my life? I need more of the helper in my life. Hands all over the place. Well, let's ask him. Let's ask him. We sang that song, God is so good. He's a good God. And he gives good things to those that ask. But the Holy Spirit is not a thing. He's what we need. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 11, beginning of verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone, say everyone. How many everyone's we got here tonight? For everyone who asks receives, and to he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread for any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I need more of the helper in my life tonight. What I'm dealing with, what I'm going through, I need guidance, I need direction. He's the one called alongside to help. You've got to understand somebody. You might have somebody sitting close beside you, but you've got somebody sitting in between. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you've got him on the inside. Can you say amen? But if we need more, all we've got to do is ask. say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to lead me, guide me, and direct me. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we need your Holy Spirit now. Send your helper. Send your comforter. Send your power. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, many years ago, and he's available. Lord, some translations call him Comforter. Some call him Helper. Only thing I know, he's the one called alongside to help us. And Lord, tonight, we ask that question, how many of us need more of the Helper, the Holy Spirit in our lives tonight? Lord, hands went up all across this place. So, Lord, we're asking. We're asking. We're asking. We're asking. Your word says, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, Lord, you who are good, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Father, for every person that calls on to you, for every person that cries out to you, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter what the need, send the person the power of the Holy Spirit upon their life. Lord, even if they've been baptized in the Spirit for years, God, not only give them a fresh baptism, but let the Holy Spirit come alongside and encourage and strengthen them. Lord, for that one that feels all alone, feels that no one cares, Lord, let the Holy Spirit come alongside and wrap your love and your mercy and your grace around them tonight. In Jesus' name. Church, if we need more of the Holy Spirit, if we need more of the Helper,